Hi, my name is Peg. I'm a compulsive overeater. I have been in recovery for 40 years. I live in Kansas, the central time zone, which means it's 4 a.m. when I get on this meeting each day. And so I had, when Judy asked about speakers, I spoke a year ago. I've been writing a memoir, so I've been looking back. And so I'm grateful to be able to share my story with a look back. That every day I come to this meeting because I'm a beginner. I'm a newcomer. And so I'd like to start with our invitation to you that brought me, I heard it my very first meeting, and I have kept coming back because I am a compulsive overeater. I am a binger. I am a restrictor. I am many, many of the things that I discovered that I am that bring me here every day. We of Overeaters Anonymous have made a discovery. At the first meeting we attended, we learned that we were in the clutches of a dangerous illness and that willpower, emotional health, and self-confidence, which some of us had once possessed, were no defense against it. We've learned that the reasons for the illness are unimportant. What deserves the attention of the still suffering compulsive overeater is this. There is a proven workable method by which we can arrest our illness. The OA recovery program is patterned after that of Alcoholics Anonymous. Can we guarantee you this discovery? The answer is up to you. If you will honestly face the truth about yourself and the illness, if you will keep coming back to meetings to talk and listen to other recovering compulsive overeaters, if you will read our literature and that of Alcoholics Anonymous with an open mind, and most important, if you're willing to rely on a power greater than yourself for direction in your life and to take the 12 steps to the best of your ability, we believe you can indeed join the ranks of those who recover. And that's why I come back every morning, because every day I'm a beginner. And every day, this is true about me, the clutches of the dangerous illness, and that there is a solution. And I find that by being here in this 12-step program. So I have some pictures because my dad was a photographer, and that's how I communicate, just to share with you my story. I grew up in Missouri, in a family of five. I was number four. These are my siblings. There were two older, and then two in the middle, and then one in the end. And my dad was a photographer, so we posed and we took really great pictures. But what you don't see in the first picture at the top, Julie, stay up at the top, is that my parents were second generation immigrants. So my grandmother came from Austria, and she came boldly at the age of 16 to America, and she could cook and sew. So cooking and food was her lifeline. And my grandfather came from Sicily on my mother's side, and he and my grandmother opened up a grocery store. So family was very important. Food was very important and was love. And my mother's first job was in a bakery, no surprise, having grown up in a grocery store. And being Italian, being Austrian pastry capital of the world, food was everything. So lots of smiles, but my parents learned came with faith and with work, and they started their own business. And so what you see in the top picture is an older sister. And she was sort of given childcare, if you will. And so as a baby, I've learned over time about attachment theory and why am I so based in fear. It has to do really a lot with her. We've reconciled this program's helped wipe away much of that debris, but she resented being the babysitter. And so my bottle was often empty, or it was filled with brown stuff, because that would quiet me. So as a baby, I was a sort of addicted to chocolate, shall we say. And the brother that was a year older than I was, he sort of dealt with his by being the bully over me. So there's movies of me being a little child and trying to learn to walk, and all the adults are, it's so cute, these little videos, but you could see that he was knocking me down. And so the dynamics of all these smiles underneath all of that was the disease. And I didn't know it was a disease. I didn't know a disease would be so mean and lie to me, and that I would know things like fear and abandonment and many of those emotional things that just weren't understood at that time. And then my brother on the right, he actually died when I was 10 years old. My parents all of a sudden disappeared. They were very busy people starting their business because work was so critical. And it wasn't until the day before he died that we learned he had leukemia and that I had the mumps at the time. And I was sure it was my fault that he went to the hospital. I saw him vomit blood, and I was sure that I had something to do with that because I lost then a brother and I lost a mother and I lost a parent. I didn't understand. They were grieving. They were doing everything they could. And that were my parents doing everything they could so that we would have a better life. And so faith was important. And my dad was a photographer. He took pictures of in our faith First Communion. And so I dressed up like, little First Communions. And then I had my First Communion and I went to school and I had sisters and oh my gosh, they had a peace about them. They had what I wanted, but I didn't know what that was. But I sensed it was God. But they would tell us stories about the Virgin Mary appearing to children, and I wanted her to appear to me. I wanted her to heal my brother. I wanted her to fix my mother. And because she was so sad. And so I became over responsible. And to earn, I knew to work. That's what they taught me. And so if you scroll down, you see that years later, my father, he became a cook. And we went to all the pay and we went Optifast, we went wait, we went everything to work hard at getting our weight in control. But at the same time, food was love. And then here's a picture of me, wanting to be like the sister. And they even made me one of those flying nun habits. And I played school and I had a chalkboard and I taught my younger sister. And I actually nurtured my younger sister the way my sister couldn't nurture me. And that became so codependent. And many of you who know me on this call for 5 years, all these years later, went through a bit of a separation, like Siamese twins, that just it was time to separate. And oh my gosh, that was brutal. And it still is to this day because I really used her in many ways for my self-esteem and I was the good girl. My brothers got in trouble. One died, my goodness. The other got in trouble a lot. And I was the good girl and I was going to work. So the picture of my red skirt, I won all kinds of 4-H blue ribbons because I learned to sew. Of course, my grandmother sewed, my mother sewed. But you know what? I didn't sew that outfit. I look at that, I won ribbons, but because she helped me. She so wanted to help me. She so wanted what was best for me, but she didn't know that that meant I could be imperfect, or I could make a mistake, or I could do it on my own. So she kind of always took over. So control became, a strategy in my family. Just take control and work harder. So I went to school. Of course, I went to school. And in this picture, you can see that I liked the gown because it covered up. And I'm smiling there, and I graduated. But what's true there is I restricted for 40 days before that graduation because I had family coming from out of town to go to my graduation. And I could only get a certain amount of weight because next door was an outlet that made little pies and tins. And for college kids to buy them for 5 cents each, you could buy a whole lot of them and you could hide them and you could eat them. Because that's the way you got through school and worked hard. Got good grades, but had absolutely no ability to feel or to go inside
10 minutes,
anything
minutes,
deeper.
Peg.
So, thank you. Let's go on to the next one then. The next one is how big I got because food and food. So my highest weight was really probably 75 pounds over normal body weight. And then I discovered Overeaters Anonymous, and it was a God thing. It was a spiritual awakening, not just for me, but for some members of my family, my parents, my sister. And so I got to a normal body weight. I then needed to deal at times with restricting and still do. I had binges throughout all of this. And so I had imperfect abstinence, but I continued to go to school and go to school and developed a career, did really amazing, amazing things through my career, trusting God, working this program one day at a time. So I did discover in Overeaters Anonymous, if you scroll up, I did discover that there is a way that I can live with food. That I have a new family, and I live with the family of OA with food. I live with the family of OA with connection and learning how to be in family and work every one of those steps and tools to deal with the debris in my own family and my own head too. Faith really grew my faith. I had to do a fourth step around my faith and my religion because I was sure it was wrong. I told everybody it was wrong. And then I had to understand that no. There is truth there. There is a higher power there. There is jewels there. And just like OA taught me, take what you like and leave the rest. And then pretty soon you learn the rest isn't really as evil as you think it is. Same thing with work. I've had to put work because I can be addicted to work. Feelings. I had to learn to feel. OA taught me to feel. I had to learn about awakenings, that they come one layer at a time. And for me, a binge, I used to go into shame and blame and be Cinderella in the basement and dream and compare and despair and all of that was sort of cleaned up to where, if I binge, that means it's time to move to a new level of connection with my higher power and myself and others. And so I'm learning things like being gentle and kind to myself. And it's been one awakening after another. Do they come when I want them? No. Do they come how I want them? No. Do they come in on time? Yes. Am I growing inside? Yes. Is living with me different? Yes. Is my family relationships different? Yes. Is my life different? Yes. The promises are real. So here you see a picture. My father went on in his spiritual path, became actually a deacon in our church. My family became very involved in ministry. We've got lots and lots of family. I travel to St. Louis to be with them. They're now scattered more places. And because of this meeting, here's some pictures of me today. Recently, I had the privilege actually of going on a trip. And stopped in Ireland and visited some of the a fellow on this very meeting that gave me the courage to take a trip and to go alone because I traveled so much with my sister and then that's changed. And then I had to learn that I could do it alone because I'm never alone because this program taught me. And what a delight to be in Ireland and to be with fellows. And then I retired and I continue to do the planning that I used to do for healthcare for 40 years and marketing, communications, and wonderful executive jobs. I do that now in the Holy Land in Israel. And for the last 10 years, I now do travel planning and plan travel and take people and different groups. And right now I'm actually grieving because I'm supposed to be there in 2 weeks, and there is war, there is reality, and always taught me it's God's will, not mine. And a lot of my plans get made and canceled. And so I'm not sure exactly, but I'm working with a team there in ministry, and actually the very The very person I'll be working with is actually in Rome and could be Pope today with white smoke. I don't know, but it's an amazing adventure that I'm on, that I'm even involved. And this meeting is international, and it's just let me know, hey, we are all bozos on the bus and we are here for each other. So that's my story. And then I just wanted to spend the rest of my time. I keep a journal of what I call OA-isms, and it's my sponsor. So the steps and the tools are just critical, and I've had to learn, and I use them and take them imperfectly, but every time food is out of line, it's like an alert on my phone. It's a notification. I better go deeper. I better deal with this feeling. I better work the hard part of the program, which is step one, admitting it, being honest. Step two, coming to believe and get rid of a lie that isn't true and replace it with what is true. Become willing, do that inventory, go deeper even into my past and heal. And it all works. But I'm not working for another master's degree. I have plenty of those. I'm not working for another 4-H badge. I have plenty of those, and they mean nothing compared to when there's a new freedom and a new happiness that comes as a result of this program. And those are my real treasures, because those I can give away and help others achieve as well. So here's a few isms, and then I think that Carol will let me know when my time's up. So I'm going to just read my favorites, and some of them you may recognize because I've learned them from you. One is guard your abstinence. Another one I just heard this week was I can stop. I can stop. I can stop when the meal's over. I can stop when my stinking thinking takes in. I can stop when I'm feeling shame and fear and disappointment. I can stop. And I can go left or right. I can go into recovery, or I can go into all the other tapes in my head, or I can just stay at the Y in the road. And it's like, you know what? I think I'm going to take one tiny step toward recovery. And usually that's all it takes. And I'm on a better path. But if I stay stuck, or if I revert back to stinking thinking, and I need you all and my higher power to let go of stinking thinking sometimes, because I forget and it keeps coming up. But here's a few other ones. Okay, guard your abstinence. Nope, not feeling self-esteem, do an esteemable thing. I'm abstinent. Everything else is extra.
2 minutes, Pen.
Thank you. What you do speaks so loud, I can't hear what you're saying. Put down food, pick up growth. We never arise above the level of being human. Accept the person, not the behavior. If you aim for the good, you will still receive pleasure. But if you aim for pleasure, the happiness you deeply desire will elude you. In my disease, I'm an egomaniac with an inferiority complex. Sharing with another will help me, but sharing with God will transform me. Try harder? No, try softer. Connection is the opposite of addiction. Why are you in prison when the door is wide open? Happiness depends on the quality of my thoughts. If we wrestle with ourselves, we always lose. The character defect of control is not a good color on me. Hope is hang on, possibilities are everywhere. Find God, and God will help you find abstinence. And that's probably enough. I'm really grateful to share my story. I'm grateful to for a family, for a faith, for a food plan and life action plan, for work, because it takes work. It does take work, and it takes work to survive as an immigrant. It takes work to do what's best for your children, but it takes work to do this program. And it's the number one work that for me directs all else. And this
Gentle
is about
reminder.
feelings and spiritual awakening. And so I'm just grateful to all of you for the journey and for what it is that you've done to change and fulfill and enrich my life.